to Luke chapter 10. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Thankful for all that God has given us, all that He has shown us, and that He walks with us daily. What I want to do is tonight is give us another look at a parable that is an age-old parable, but I have been reading a book and learning some things that has just blown me away in the Scriptures. So when you find Luke chapter 10, if you'd please stand for the reading of the Word. Luke chapter 10, and we'll pick up at verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he sojourned, came where he was," and I want to remember that, "where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Now, which of these three, thinkest thou, was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As I've been studying and reading this, the thing that stuck out was it said that we are to study the Scriptures, and in studying the Scriptures sometimes is more than just reading it over and over and over. Maybe we need to ask some questions of some things and put some stuff out. And I really hope y'all don't think that I'm out on a left limb tonight, because I just want to teach this. This is opened up so many Scriptures as I read this stuff and I begin to ask these same questions at other places. It just blows my mind. We've heard this preached and ministered on for years, and not saying anybody's right or wrong about the whole point of the parable of the Good Samaritan is we need to be a good neighbor. But however, if we look back at what was the reason for the parable, if we look back to the question that was asked, it said, behold, in verse number 25, it says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now, if I ask you what I should do to inherit eternal life, would you tell me you need to be a good neighbor? Would that give me eternal life? With that question being answered through the parable, that made me start to think, well, what was Jesus telling him here? Because we know just doing good in our community is not going to get us eternal life. And Jesus told him, and he spoke to him, and he said, in verse 26, he said unto him, "What is written in the law, and how readest thou?" That's the important thing right there. How do you read the law? Are you looking in the Scriptures and looking into the things of God just to pick out a point so that we can hold it to the letter but not have to branch out to what we know our heart's telling us? Do we look into Scripture to find a little something that'll give us a little loophole and not follow it? That's kind of the whole gist of the matter that Jesus is telling in him. Because we know that it boils down to him saying, "So, who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus began to give him this parable. So if we took this parable apart to see why would Jesus tell him this when we all know that it takes more than just being a good neighbor to have eternal life. Is that correct? We understand that. So let's look at this parable and kind of take it apart and put it in a prophetic, I guess you'd say, situation, or in a prophetic layer as we peel them off, to see who the characters and what the places are in here, and maybe we can have some light into what Jesus was actually telling them. Because through the years, what has happened is a lot of times we pull parables straight out of the Scriptures, not looking at the text around them, and Americanize them and preach them, and then sometimes maybe we miss a little bit of what the power of the parables was saying through the customs of that day. Does that make sense? So as we look at this, let's take a look, and it says, in verse number 30, it says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, Jerusalem, if we look at that place, Jerusalem, we know, was the place of God. We know that it was the city of God. We know it was called the city of peace. It appeared with Melchizedek, and he was the king of Salem, which was a king, later become Jerusalem. I think it was when the Jebusites took it over. It became Jerusalem. Well, it was Jer-Salem, and they just shortened the word and called it Jerusalem. So that's the place of God. And Jericho, we know, is listed as a wicked city, as a mean city. So we have a certain man. Now, if we look for a certain man, where should we begin to look at but the first man that we take a look at? Now, coming from a place of God, coming from a city of God, a dwelling place of God, would have been Adam, would have been the first man who would have dwelt with God. He walked with him in the garden. Do we see that? So could he be talking about this certain man being Adam coming down from his dwelling place to God, headed towards a wicked place through his own decision now, and he says he fell among the thieves. Now, we all are very familiar with who the thief is, right? Now, we know that in Adam's instruction from God was, do not touch the fruit of the tree lest ye what? Die. Now, question. Did Adam eat of the fruit of the tree? Did Adam live? Who was the father of Cain and Abel and everybody? Question. So, can God lie on what he gives? Absolutely not. So maybe he died spiritually. A spiritual relationship was dead. Now notice, as we go on down, it says, which stripped him of his raiment. What was the first thing that Adam knew was wrong? I'm naked. Get behind the bush. Now we start to see this parable taken on a little bit different look. He says, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him what? Physically alive, spiritually dead, makes you half dead. Now, it says, and by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. Now, I know we've heard that the priest and the Levite just thought they were too good to help him. But we must see, who is the priest? The first priest that we have in the Bible, when we look at types and shadows, and we look at prophetic layers that are given to us, as we look through just not only Jesus' character, but in the characters that he taught, who would have been the first priest? That would have been Moses. Moses was the first priest unto God. He did the ordinances. He taught them to Aaron. Aaron was called in the first Levitical priesthood. He set an order. But Moses was the one who done all of the ordinances until he taught them to Aaron. Moses was the one who brought what from God to the people? The law. Now, the law coming down, seeing man half dead, spiritually wounded, coming down, could pass by on the other side. Why? What can the law do to spiritually heal a man? What can the law do to bind up his wound? When you don't know what to do in a situation, what do? Pass by it? Notice it didn't say that he climbed away from it, turned away from it, and run. He just passed by. There's nothing that the law could do to help that man. There's nothing that the priesthood in itself could do to help that man that is spiritually wounded. We know that the ordinances came down, but it never removed sin from man. It never fixed him spiritually. Then we have in the next verse, it says, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, the same situation, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now notice, at the priest, a certain priest came that way, and when he saw him, he just passed by. He seen him like this. The Levite came, if you're the wounded spiritual man, the priest came by as this. The Levite came by that certain place and looked upon him. Took a moment. Now, the Levitical priesthood could do what? it took care of the animal sacrifices, which helped the people put their sin away for a year, but it done nothing to heal it. It only covered it. Our sin, our spiritual man needed more than what the sacrificial animals could deliver. The Levite could do nothing to help that man either. All of the ceremonies that we had, all of the blood of all of the animals that were killed, done nothing to help us. We were still separated from God, still spiritually dead, still with a wound that nobody coming down the road could fix, as of yet. Now, it says, but a certain Samaritan. Samaritan, now, what were the Samaritan people? Now, when I believe it was Israel and Judah were divided against each other, Judah got to keep Jerusalem as their capital. Israel took Samaria as their capital. And then when they were reunited and God brought them back together, they had taken on strange wives and husbands, and God didn't want that. And He told them to come out from among them, that they needed to stay within their own 12 tribes. And the people in Samaria decided that they didn't want to do that. So they became known as a town of half-breeds. Now, if we're looking at this in a spiritual sense, then spiritually we have to look for a man who would fit the description of someone having only one Jewish parent, but another parent of another bloodline. Now, spiritually, how many people fit that description? It's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the only one that has had been born of a virgin who has the spiritual father and a Jewish mother. Now, if we look at this, let's go on. The Samaritan, as he sojourned, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on them. When we read the book of John, we see that that's all Jesus had on everyone. Every time they bring somebody to him who didn't fit and wasn't supposed to be there, what does it say Jesus did? Jesus had compassion on him. Now, I want us to look at verse number 34. It says, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. This is the first place in the Scripture that those two has ever been used together as an apothecary. It has never been mixed before and used. Now, we know what the oil represents. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. We see it in types and shadows. How do you see that? Well, we have where the Holy Spirit, where the oil is poured on kings to do what? To anoint them. When we have sick among us, what's it tell us to do? Is there power in the oil? If it was, I believe the shelves would be empty and we wouldn't be able to do it. But it is in what it represents. So we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the wine. Wine was nothing but a drink until Jesus at the Last Supper, I wish I had a cup, picked up the cup and said what? This is my blood of what? A new and everlasting covenant. So, of this half-dead, spiritually dead man on the side of the road, what was the only thing that could bound up his wounds and heal them would be the Holy Spirit and the blood of the New Testament. First time that had ever been put together. Now, he goes on and he says, and he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. There's just another place. Now, Jesus only has, this is the only place that I could find where Jesus is really mentioned about an inn except for in his birth. But when we look at it at his birth, what is said of the inn that Jesus went to? There was no room for him. If we look over in Revelation and we look at the church of Laodicea, there was no room for him. We're fat, increased with goods, and needing nothing. So could the inn possibly be the church? So he took this half dead man, he took this spiritually dead man to the church. and brought him in, brought him to an inn and took care of him. We can bring them in, but who ultimately has to take care of them? Jesus. He says, on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. And this, I come unglued, Brian. I just like fell out of my chair. I couldn't do nothing but walk. 2 pence was 2 days' wages. 1 day with the Lord is, and 1,000 years is a day. All kinds of Jewish writings. Now, I can't go into what calendar. Everybody says we're in so many different calendars, it's unreal. But we do know that it's been roughly around 2,000 years. Now, notice what he says after that. He says, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. Now, the host would be the innkeeper, correct? So, if the end is going to be the church, who would be the host of the church? There you go. Us that sit in here. And gave them to the host and said unto him, now listen, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will pay thee. When I come again. Could Jesus have told this man, now, when he asked him the question, who was his neighbor? Would it do me any good to help him but not fix his wound? The priest could have got him up but never healed him. The priesthood could have carried him but never done nothing for the wound. The Levitical priesthood could have picked him up but done nothing for the wound. But the man who had the oil and the wine, who had the New Testament, who had what the man needed spiritually to be brought back to life, to be, and notice, more than anything, he needed to be healed. He took him to a place where he could be healed, and not only healed, but taken care of by those that were in that place. And as it's going to take some work to take care of someone who is injured and healed, he said, don't worry about... Don't worry about the cost of what you're losing while I'm gone, because when I return again, I'll pay you. We get caught up in the cost of taking care of the others. It's like I said week before last. To a person who's lost and needing Jesus, Wednesday night service is no less than Sunday morning. Sunday night service is no less. It's all a service to God. And it's not what can I get out of it. How do I leave? How do I feel when I leave? How was the worship? Was the music right? The worship is what I'm giving to God. So we need to come with what is it that we're going to be able to give, not what can we take from it. We should be learning. Bless you. Bless you again. We should be learning that. So could Jesus be telling this guy that just to take the man and put him somewhere for somebody to take care of ain't going to fix it? Could Jesus, in what he was telling him, knowing their customs of the day, them knowing, because the man was a lawyer. Now, a lawyer's not a lawyer as we know today. There was only one law then. The law was the scripture, the Levitical scriptures that were given down. So he knew what was in them. Could Jesus have given him from man's fall all the way down, but a true neighbor is the one who will find those that are spiritually dead, get them to the end, get their wounds bound up, and introduce them to Jesus and let them know he's going to return. Now, why would he just return to pay off his debt? Or would he maybe be returning to pick that feller up and to get him along on his way? People say, well, I don't know if Jesus would go to a wicked city like Jericho. Doesn't say Jesus ever went to Jericho. Didn't say he took him to Jericho. Said he put him in his beast and took him to an inn. Now, I don't know about you, just to borrow a little bit from the morning's message, but when I get away from something that has hurt me spiritually,
As soon as I'm well, I don't continue on my journey to go on into the wickedness. So maybe at that point, that feller might have healed up and said, you know, I don't need to go down there. There's a thief out there on that road away from God. I need to be back to the city of God. But I know I have safety in this inn because the innkeeper's been charged. It was a serious thing for somebody to give you something and tell you to take care of that. Until, see, back then, your word was stronger than contracts today. When you said I would do it, then you was expected to do it. So now you have a man there that is going to take care of you because the owner of all things has come and said, I will pay you whenever I get back. Notice, he didn't say when he was coming back. He said, here's enough for a couple of days. And if it runs over that, I'll pay you when I get back. Could Jesus have gave this lawyer more than what he ever asked for? And he that wants eternal life has to be made spiritually whole and get others. Let others know. That's what a real neighbor is. Oh, I can come over and cut your grass. But Jesus taught us and told us many times, if all we do is just say, go here, here's your food, go, I'll pray for you. No, we need to help them. We need to correct them. We need to show them spiritually what they're really in need of. That's what a neighbor is, a true neighbor. Now, that don't just limit us. And in today's society, we think that a neighbor is the guy that lives next door to us. Well, what about the people at your work? You know, I looked up the word neighbor, and you know what the word neighbor is? A fellow countryman. Or a friend. Kind of really opens up. Not just give them the law and say, you know, if you quit doing that and come to church, or to say, well, Jesus can forgive you that, but then you don't have to worry about it. But give them the entire word. Jesus can save you from a life of sin. That is when you become a true neighbor. That's when you truly start to love a man. Is it uncomfortable? Yes, it is. Who here likes to be told that they're wrong? Now think about it, when you were lost, who wants somebody to tell you that you're lost and you're wrong? But folks, it's time we wake up in America and realize somebody's got to let them know. There's been a few people that I've witnessed to, and I told them, I said, you know, you really need to be saved. From what? The world knows one thing. God is a God of love. And how can a God of love send anybody to hell? Could it be that those who have portrayed the message and have done the warning and the shouting and the proclaiming has left a part of the message out? In fear that there is a judgment. I'll tell you what you need to be saved from. You need to be saved from your sins. And God ain't sending you to hell. He's give you a free ticket out. Jesus paid the price to separate you from that. God will not send anybody there. But by denying the gift and walking away from the precious, special gift that Jesus has, we can deny Him. The UPS man, whenever I order stuff, he always brings that and he sets it on my porch. Toots his horn and takes off down the road. Now, if I leave that box set on there, do I have any right to call up UPS and say, hey, I never got my package? I've looked all over the house. It ain't nowhere in here. Is there anything on your porch? Well, yeah. Well, take it in. It's yours. You got to open it up and use it. You can give me keys to a brand new car if I leave it set here and say, well, nah, I just wish I had a car. I've got it. Why don't I use it? You've got it. We need to use it. We need to. We need to take all that Christ has given us and be good neighbors. Be friends to the people out there that are without God. Show them. Bring them in. It's uncomfortable. What makes you think you're right? Judge not, lest you be judged. Isn't that what your Bible says? I tell them, I say, do a word study on that. Well, Jesus is saying you can't judge them in or out of hell, but you can judge the fruit that they have. He got very upset with Israel time and time again because judgment had what? Left them. We're not supposed to walk around with blinders on and tell everybody everything's okay. That's what the world has been doing, and that's why they say, saved from what? Your God made me like I am. No, the sin nature in you and you obeying it made you what you are. I know I've been there, but thanks be to God, you can be born again. Jesus gave him much more than just telling him to be nice. He told him how to get eternal life. How he can get eternal life. Folks, I hope that it didn't seem crazy. But when I started looking at this, it's just like now I'm on the 10 virgins and maybe we can uncover that later. But I found out it's not nothing about how much oil they got. Brother, it's all about seeing Jesus in His hour. They didn't have no light to see. God has left us Scriptures so wide open and to set us on fire and to ignite us and to bring us into a deeper understanding of what His instructions to us are. All we have to do is take it. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus, 2,000 years ago, wrote things, said things, spoke things that is very relevant to me today. That as modern and as twisted as my world can get, His simple word, so simple that a child can understand it, can fix all my problems. The only time it becomes bankrupt is when I say, no, it'll help Robbie, it'll help Debbie. My situation's different. You just got to understand. My situation's different. It's good for you, Rick, but it's different in my situation. Where did He say anyone was excluded? He said, whosoever will, let him what? And I will open unto him. He didn't say I'd send a messenger. I didn't say that He would send somebody else to do it and you'd have to go through this, this, and this to get to Him. He said, I'll be there. Alrighty, I'm done.